Hey guys, today on California Haunts Radio, we're going to be taking a look at the California Haunts files, and we're going to be talking about haunted hotels and other Gold Country legends. Grab your popcorn and snacks, find a comfy spot, take a seat or lie down, and let me transport you to a place of fantasy, ghost stories, ancient legends, odd creatures, alien encounters, and other magical topics. You may even decide to join the conversation. From faraway lands to your own backyard, with a small dash of pixie dust, turn out the lights and open your minds. The journey is about to begin. Good afternoon and evening, everybody. How's everybody doing? I hope you said good. I've had the day from hell, but it's okay. It's okay. It happens, right? Anyway, my name is Charlotte. I'm going to be your host for the next hour. I'm also the owner of the California Haunts Paranormal Investigation Team based out of Sacramento, California. We are 45 strong up and down the state, which means if you think you might have a paranormal need, we can help you out with that. It may take us a while to get to you, but we can help you. California is this huge state. Yeah, because it's so huge, you know, even though we have people everywhere, it may take us a couple hours, days, you know, a couple days to get to you. In that case, we do have psychics on staff who can phone you and talk to you about what may or may not be going on. And if they do deem that it's something paranormal, they can calm it down, calm the energy down in most cases until we get out there. It usually doesn't take us more than 1 or 2 days. All right, that being said, I guess you guys are noticing a change of schedule today. Unfortunately, in setting up these shows, I deal with a lot of time changes, and so do the client, and so do the guests. And sometimes people get confused. You know, I get confused, the guests will get confused. So this was a situation that happened today with Karen Conti. She got confused about the lifetime for the show. So she rescheduled for tomorrow, and that's going to be different because it'll be tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. Pacific. When she's going to do the show. So be back here at 2:30 p.m. Pacific. Also, at 1 p.m. Pacific, I will be on Dr. Linda's show interviewing medium Nancy Matz. So I'm going to be co-hosting with Dr. Linda tomorrow, and I'm going to be interviewing medium Nancy Matz on Dr. Linda's show. So join us over there, and the link will be up probably sometime tomorrow morning for you to peruse. I'll try and do a, depending on when it hits. If I get it tonight, that's even better. I can do a full share, okay, but all the way around like I normally do, but I don't know when it's going to hit, so it's just, it is what it is. If you do hear a slight hum in the background, that would be my through-the-window air conditioner. It is getting hot. Today was 89. The next 3 or 4 days, we're going to have 90 tomorrow, and then it's going to jump to like 95 all the way up to 99 this week, and then it'll drop back down to 89. So the air conditioner is going to be on from here, probably from here on in when I'm doing the show, because it's just too blazing hot. Okay, I don't have any shade trees in the backyard or anything, so this part of the house gets just like an oven. So I will be running the AC during the shows assuming the air conditioner lasts, because it's really old, probably through September. Okay, now for those of you watching on Facebook, and a lot of you are, please be free to follow if you like what you hear today, hear and see. I'm always looking for followers and to build up my following. Also, if you're watching from YouTube, please feel free to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And what goes for both Facebook and YouTube is if you leave me a nice comment over in the chat room, or you chat amongst yourselves, or if you leave me a thumbs up or a happy face or this heart thing that I can never do. Like I said the other night, I can do the Vulcan greeting, right? Live long and prosper. I cannot do this to save my life. So, leave us things like that to show that you like us. That's great, because what that does is that puts us up higher on the For You page, which is what they call the FYP. And that sends us out to more people to see the show, and by, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It causes a snowball effect. It's like what, at the end of the shows, I'm always asking you, share it with 5 people, or share it with 5 of your enemies, blah, 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 you know, to get the show shared out. So if you can do that, that'd be great. We are broadcasting on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch tonight. So that goes for Twitch too. And to give you an idea, all the social media works like that, as far as likes and all that stuff. Now on TikTok, you have to double tap the screen, you know, to raise the likes up and share it just like you do here. So everybody works pretty much the same. Well, as I said, Karen Conti couldn't be with us till tomorrow. There was an error in scheduling. You know, she's 2 hours ahead of me, and so she got confused with the time. She ended up having a dinner thing going on tonight, so she couldn't do it. She's got a dinner tomorrow night as well. So that's why we will be seeing her tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. Pacific. Okay, well, you got me tonight, and I was pondering what to do tonight because I didn't find, you know, all this went down at like 2 a.m. Like I said, I had a real crappy day, so I'm going to tell you about my day, okay? First off, let's talk about the donations that we have. We have gotten some donations in this week, but it's still not quite enough to pay the bills that are coming up on the 30th. So I'm still $80 short on where I need to be. So if you could find it in your heart to donate at paypal.com, I got to read this because I never know what it is. paypal.me/CaliforniaHaunts, I think it is. Let me see when it goes through here. That's embarrassing. Yeah, it's paypal.com. I think it's /CaliforniaHaunts. I can't even see that sucker. Go by today. It might be at CaliforniaHaunts. But, okay. Let me look real quick. Give me a second. That's insane. Never get old because you go blind. Okay, yeah. It's paypal.me/CaliforniaHaunts, or just over at Venmo, it's California Haunts. But I would really appreciate the help. You know, we're trying to keep this show on the air, and we've got to get expenses done, and I'm working as much freelance as I can and trying to keep things going, but it would help. You're not required to, but it would help. Like I said, we have an $80 goal before the end of the week, and it mostly lands on the 30th, if you can help us. Our numbers are really good. I'm going to share some with you right now. We are sitting at 9,200 downloads this month. We've gone way up on those. The highest month we had was December. December was 12,000 downloads. But we're at 9,200. We're way up from where we were. You know, up until 2 months ago, we were averaging around 4,000 downloads. So we have gained a lot of momentum in the past few months, and I'm real excited. Just like Facebook, you guys are terrific watching us on Facebook. We're getting a lot of views over on Facebook, and I'm really stoked about that. I think it's fantastic, and I want to thank you guys. The RSS feed is where the 9,000 downloads are, 9,000 plus downloads are, and I thank you so much for doing that, for listening to us in your car or wherever you listen. I'm just really thankful about it. So YouTube, we got to kind of get those views up, but we're getting there. We're working it through. But again, you know, this stuff doesn't happen for free. So, I mean, you know, there's internet expenses, laptop expenses, and things like that. So we do have to get funding to support all that. So, yeah, that's where we're at. So I want to thank Pam Nishikawa for a donation and one person that wanted to be anonymous. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And hopefully somebody else will feel it in their heart to help keep us on the air. I would love to stay on the air. Okay, so I was thinking about my morning, and I've been doing a lot of yard work. I did a lot of yard work over the holiday weekend, and we had these really big, all that rain. My backyard floods, so you can't get back there until probably April, if you're lucky, March or April when things dry out, because I mean, it floods. But the oleander plants that I have don't mind the flooding, obviously. So they just totally took off in size. I mean, I never seen them get so big. 8 feet tall. Some of them were leaning over my fence, you know, that they were so tall. And then they spread. They spread all the way. It was like one big wall of oleander. And I would say it was like a good, maybe 12 to 20 foot wall of oleander back there. So I've been chopping the oleander up. I'm just about done getting it chopped up so I can start taking it, you know, having it shipped off to the dump. I do wear glasses. So I'm chopping away this morning and my glasses fall off. And they went off really smooth. So I'm thinking, well, they're down, you know, between my feet or something. So I'm looking for them. Can't find them. So I go, I get back in the house blind, get my contacts in, go back out, searching for the glasses. Can't find them to save my life. So I decided to get some of those put, you know, in the recycle can, the green recycle can. So I picked up each individual. And there were a lot of branches today. I picked up each individual branch, shook them, and put them in my wheelbarrow. Still can't find the glasses. I have no idea what happened to them. It's like, boom. It's just like some fairy folk came and took them and ran. Wouldn't doubt it. You never know, right? Maybe the ghosties are hiding them. I don't know. But I'm going to go out there tonight, once it starts, the sun starts to go down, with my super flashlight, and see if I can see him glinting. If not, you know, I've there's good things that happen and bad things. So if not, I found out that I get one pair of glasses a year, and I had gotten a prescription last year, so I'm still good. So I could do that. In the meantime, I have to baby my contacts so I can see. But that's the kind of day it's been. Then I come in here, you know, then of course the show has to get rescheduled, have to come in, do all that stuff. Then I come in here and I don't understand that my cables were a rat's nest. So I had to undo all my cables too, just before this show, so I could do the intro to the show. So it's been a crazy day. So this is one of those days you could like say, go away, I don't want to see you anymore. Go away, Dave. Go away. So then during all this, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to talk about tonight. I actually thought of just throwing it all the wind and going in the other studio and just building Yoda tonight. That's where I was at. But I got to thinking about it and I thought, well, no. We're doing really good and people are starting to come to listen to me chatter. And so here I am chattering and we're going to be talking about Gold Country Ghosts. We're going to be talking about the haunted hotels in the California Gold Country. And we're going to be talking about some of the legends. Like last night, I happened to mention when Lynn Monet was on, last night I happened to mention coming in contact with a Tommyknocker, which is a legendary, well, you can call it fairy folk or whatever you want to call it, but this is something that came over with the Cornish miners, right? So we're going to be talking about that kind of thing. You know, we'll be talking about some of the stuff that we've investigated, these legends, you know, like the fairy folk that we encountered. And that was pretty much in the Gold Country, you know? I mean, in fact, I've encountered fairy folk twice since I've been doing this. 18 years, right? 18 years of ghost hunting. And yeah, twice fairy folk and one Tommyknocker. So, yeah. So, I take that back. That's two sets of Tommyknockers because I was with another team when we encountered some as well. But yeah, so I thought I would talk about that tonight because I was trying to wrestle with what should I do? Because I'm coming on last minute, so that's what we're going to do. And this team has investigated quite a bit. And to give you a little bit of background on this, let me drink some water. To give you a little bit of background on this, when we started out, we were a team. We were filming a TV show for public access, and that's where the name California Haunts came up. And when we broke off from that, we decided to start to start our own paranormal team. And that's what grew out of the filming of that. And so California Haunts Paranormal Investigation Team was born. And so when we started out, it was one of those things where, you know, you're not sure what you're doing. You know, there's teams out there that go out and just start investigating right away, right? Unfortunately, we didn't do that. Well, I would say unfortunately. Unfortunately, you know, when teams do that without really looking at their equipment and training and what they're going to do, especially residentials, Not a very good thing. So we started out doing nothing but commercial jobs. And by commercial jobs, I mean going up to the Gold Country and investigating the hotel, you know, the actively haunted hotels up in the Gold Country and other spots up there, which is why we got so good at it. And we have so much stuff from there. As soon as our website gets back up, you guys can go check it out. Your eyes are going to bulge because we have done some really cool investigations up there in some really cool places. But that's what we did. And then five or six years into this is when we got our first residential investigation. And even then, as a team, we were still real unsure whether we really wanted to commit to that because, in all honesty, it's a big responsibility to go and investigate somebody's house because you're dealing with not only the people in the house, the house itself, but you're also dealing with their mental state. You're dealing with people's mental state and their health and everything else because you have to look at all these different things that may be causing the activity in the house. You know, it may not be paranormal. It may be something, maybe some medication they're taking or some illegal medication they're taking for that matter. But that was the thing. That's how we made the transition into doing houses. But it was a very, very stressful transition for us because we all were really nervous about doing it. Okay, back to the task at hand. There's your background. We're going to talk about, there's three or four hotels that we have frequented over the years, and they all have their individual ghosts by name. And I'm going to try to remember these ghosts. It's been a while. Our most favorite is the Murphy's Hotel. Murphy's Hotel is located in what they call Historic Murphy's. Now, you got to remember, when California people talk about old places, you know, when you compare it with back east, Maine, different places like that, Salem, Massachusetts, right? We're talking about 1800s. We're not talking about anything further back. Okay, so we are fairly young here. Even old Sacramento here is 1800s, early 1900s. So it's not like, you know, we're talking about 1600, 1700. We don't get that out here, not in California. And if it is, it's buried, because there's a lot of Native Americans out here and stuff, so they were here a long time before the rest of us. So when we're talking about stuff like that, like I said, we're talking about mid-1800s into the fall of 1900s and stuff to investigate. Well, when the gold rush hit, 1849, right? Everybody knows about the California gold rush, or has heard of it. That's when everybody came out. That's when all the settlers came across to settle into these towns. And so these little towns like Murphy's and Ione and a couple others were born. Quite a few others. Placerville, Auburn, you name it. Anything that you can see on that map up in the gold country, that's when they were born, during the gold rush. And so a lot of these places were built. The thing is, a lot of these places burnt down, too, because if you look through the history of a lot of these old towns, all these buildings were made of wood and brick. And, of course, at times, the wood would catch fire for whatever reason, and the hotels would burn, burn down, especially with the way they had fire, right? Fire trucks, they either had the pump thing going on, like they have a Little House on the Prairie, right? Or they were using buckets to put these fires out. So, I mean, a lot of these hotels and stuff. Places like that got destroyed. Hotels and meeting houses got destroyed. And they were rebuilt. So there's a lot of history with that. Now, one of our favorite places to go up, and I can say haunts, because one of our favorite haunts to go up is the Murphy's Hotel. We've been up there at least 10 times to ghost hunt, and it's been it's a very interesting place. They have the old portion of the hotel, which they just remodeled, and they also have a new portion of the hotel, which is across the way from the original hotel itself. It's very nice. It's got all the modern goodies and all that stuff. But you're also allowed to stay in the historical wings, okay? The historical floors of the Murphy's Hotel. And they've had some real notable people stay there. It's fun to go up and down the hall of the historical area because you see names on there that you recognize. Some of them are from literature. Others you'll recognize are from the Titanic, right? Some of those guys that were on... People that were on the Titanic stayed at the Murphy's Hotel. But the most notable guest at the Murphy's Hotel, besides all those rich folk that were on the Titanic, Mark Twain stayed there, as did President Grant. When he was still General Grant, he stayed in one of the rooms at the Murphy's Hotel. And they have the room, it's locked up. They have a big piece of plexiglass there, so you can't get in. However, you can rent the room and stay in there. It's got, I believe it has a piano in there. It's a fairly good-sized room. And President, I don't know how to say it, pre-President Grant, how about that? Pre-President Grant stayed at this hotel. And it's really cool to think that, he walked those same halls, all right? Now, this whole area, when you talk about Mark Twain, you think about Tom Sawyer, you think about Huckleberry Finn, Life on the Mississippi. Mark Twain spent a lot of time in Sacramento and this whole area. In fact, he worked for the Sacramento Union. And so you can still find some of his stories in the archives, in Old Town here in Sacramento. And a lot of the time, those stories he had about the Mississippi River, like especially with Huck Finn and those places, from what I understand, and I'm not, don't quote me on this, don't be sending me hate mail, but a lot of the time when he was talking about the Mississippi, he was actually talking about the Sacramento River, because not only did we have boats on the Sacramento River, we had river boats as well, and we still have one sitting there that's not running, called the Delta King. Now we actually had another big one called the Delta Queen, and the Delta Queen is on the Mississippi River. Somebody bought it, towed it to the Mississippi, and turned it around and refurbished it, and so people can use it as a vacation spot, hotel. To go up and down the river, just like the old days. Now, I don't know if there's gambling like the old days, but they have it set up. But the Delta Queen is from Sacramento. That was the sister to the Delta King, which is docked in Old Sacramento. So there's a huge history there. That's why when I say, Mark, I have heard stories, I've seen things and references to where Mark Twain and in some of his literature about the Mississippi River is actually talking about the Sacramento River, because the Sacramento River runs all the way into Northern California, all the way into Antioch, and on into the bay where San Francisco is. So, you know, it's a big river. There's spots in that river that are so wide, and the water is so swift, it's almost like ocean. We used to have a boat, used to cruise it all the time, so I know. But the beautiful part is there's these sloughs. If you're into Disneyland, you like the Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, you go through that first little section there in the bayou, that's what it looks like at night in the sloughs. Oh, there's sailboats out there that are anchored, and it's really cool. It's really a cool experience to see, because people are fishing off their boats, you know, and all that stuff. But anyway, that's one of the, you know, famous people that stayed at this hotel. But John Jacob, to give you an idea, okay, let's talk about Titanic, right? John Jacob Astor, Molly Brown has stayed at that hotel. Like I said, the guy that did Levi's, right, Mr. Levi, he stayed at the hotel. So there's all these names, and that's why I say if you ever get a chance to go there, you know, and you come to California, if you don't live here, and you come to California and you get a chance to go to the Gold Country, go to that hotel, and then look at all the doors. Go upstairs in the historical part, and walk up and down the hall and look at the names on the doors in the hotel, because you will recognize all these names. And it's really, really cool. It's really, really cool. So, of course, this hotel is haunted. The main ghost is, and I'm trying to remember her, it's a female who was I think she was like a head maid at the hotel. I can't remember her name. I'm going to call her Miss E, because I can't remember it off the top of my head. I didn't really have a lot of time to go back through my notes to research this stuff, so this is where it's at. Oh yeah, the internet's probably going to go crazy because of all the news coming out of New York, blah, blah, blah. You know, everybody's on Xfinity, yeah. She is an interesting character because she's very protective of the hotel, very protective. And she's been known to lock people out of rooms. You know, she's been known to lock people in rooms, for that matter. But they have also seen her in the kitchen. She makes appearances all over the hotel. People have been dining in the main dining room, and they'll look up and see her standing by the window, dressed in her maid clothes, and things like that. But what's interesting is I found out the last time we were up there, which a few years ago, we haven't been up there since just before they remodeled. The last time we were up there, they always give us a big stack of stuff because they keep. They tell people, if you see or experience anything, just write it down. So they always give us a stack of stuff. Sometimes it's written on paper, sometimes it's written on napkins, but you know, you get a big stack of stuff. So, excuse me for a second. I was going through everything, and one in particular struck me, that made me go talk to the employees. And the night manager and I were talking, and she said that an interesting thing occurred. They did, I don't know if they did Hotel Impossible there. One of those programs came into Murphy's Hotel to help them. And it was interesting because I believe it was Gordon. Gordon Ramsay came in, I think. I think it was that show. And when they got in the kitchen, and he started to do his walkthrough, and you know how Gordon Ramsay is when he's on TV, he's crotchety as hell, and all that's going on. Well, according to what I was told, I guess E got upset and was throwing things at him. So the plates went flying. Everything went flying at him. It was either him or the other guy, the bald guy that used to do the other ones, Hotel Impossible guy. And I remember looking at the employee and I went, well, if I was the ghost and he came whipping through my kitchen, I'd be PO'd too. But yeah, that's what they told me, is that he got in there and he started to do his little thing, his whole, butthead thing that he does, and the ghost got mad and started throwing objects at him. So I thought it was a pretty funny story. But that goes to her being very protective. Karen Clark, our psychic, has a good relationship with this ghost. You know, if you go to places a lot, the ghosts get to know you. You can build a rapport. There was one gentleman that we had on the show that we actually talked about that with, you know, where he felt that he had a nice rapport within this one particular place with these ghosts. We have that as well. There's like five or six places in Northern California where we have that relationship with the ghosts in there because they know us. And so this particular hotel, yeah, we do have that. But she's been known to walk the hallways at night, like she's patrolling to make sure everything's okay. One story that came out from the night manager was that one night he had left, because they always leave the kind of leave the front door open because they figure guests are going to be going back and forth, you know, whatever. I don't know. The sidewalks roll in at 5 anyway. But, so, two, I don't know if it was kids or just two men had come into the hotel and they were, I guess, considering stealing stuff out of the historical, you know, branch part of the hotel. And he says that he walked in and these guys were running down the stairs. They couldn't get out fast enough. So he stopped them outside. He chased them and stopped them outside. And he asked them why, you know, what they were doing there. Why were they running? And things like that. And they said, well, honestly, we came in to look around, supposedly. This is like, we're talking like 11 o'clock at night. So they came in to look around. And they said they saw a woman at the top of the stairs who's told them to get out. And then she disappeared right in front of them. And that was enough for them. They turned around and hightailed it down the stairs and out the front door. So she's very active. You know, I've been there where she's taken the, she's been angry with me. She has her, Eleanor, that's the name. Eleanor, I knew I'd figure it out. She has her own room. Room 9 is her room. And so I happened to get the keys or just to be able to stay there a couple of times. And I know there's been times that I've gone in, turned the key, and the door does not open. And so I have to ask her nicely and, you know, explain to her who I am and what I'm there for, that I'm not going to hurt anything in the hotel. And then the door will unlock with no problem. But she's really good for that. She also does things with the TV in the bar. The TV, will, all of a sudden, it'll start getting lines across it, like there's something wrong with the TV or something wrong with the reception, and there's nothing wrong because it's cable. Right? Yeah, so she does a lot of stuff like that. Like I said, people see her up and down the halls. And, you know, she's still doing her job. She's still doing her job. The other thing that they get there, and they've got this huge ballroom where they do a lot of their events, and it's called the Mark Twain Ballroom. And it used to house Civil War soldiers. So there were it was like barracks. So there were bunk beds all stacked in there for these soldiers. So there's a lot of energy in there from these soldiers. A lot of the reports in this hotel, and I've never seen it happen, but I do have some stories about that room, where there's beautiful velveteen drapes on there, on all the windows, because there's like 4 or 5 windows on one side. And staff has reported that they will walk in, because you know how like with those bigger windows, there's like sashes tied on them to make sure they stay closed during the day, and then they didn't close them at night or when the sun's there or whatever. Staff has reported that when they go in there to clean, they'll go in there and do the floors or whatever, the windows are open, it's all tied, and then they'll go out for a break, maybe a cigarette break or whatever, they'll go back in there, and the windows are open. Hey, Jerry Edwards, how are you, buddy? That's our Bay Area team right there. That's the head man for the Bay Area team. All right. and I see Maurice is there, too. Team reps. So people will go out for a break. They'll come back in, and the windows are untied. They're all untied.
What do you say?
Okay, I'll check it. I'll check my messages. Not now, though. I'll check my messages. So, they'll walk in there. They'll do their work, go out, go on break, come back in, and the windows will be untied. And there's no explanation for it. And sometimes, you know, and it'd be one thing if it was like a one-time deal. Oh, there I go. I dropped down with the Marios. Remember playing Mario, Super Mario? And he'd fall off cliffs and stuff, and nobody knew where he went? That's what happened to me just now. But, so those things will be untied. The other thing that they report is the chairs. Like in the movie Poltergeist, they don't get stacked or anything. But the chairs do move in and out. Like they'll push them all in to the tables, and then they'll come back and the chairs will all be out, like someone was sitting in, things like that. When we were in there, the first time we went in there to do an investigation, we had all our cameras set up, lots of rooms to set cameras up. I have a 10-channel DVR, so I'm able to go down halls, you know, and all that stuff. Plus, I have another 8-channel DVR in addition, so I can do multiple setups. One thing that happened in there with our team is, and I wasn't there, but this is the report I got. Everybody has to fill out reports on my team, you know, whether it's on a digital voice recorder or whatever, but everybody has to fill out a report. And so they went in, and one of my investigators, who's very, very sensitive to paranormal stuff, got sick, physically ill. She just couldn't stay in the room. So she walked out to go get some air, went back in, same thing, walked back out. That was the end of that room. She couldn't go in there. However, the men that were in there on my team were located with the EMF meter. Because, you know, we're always walking around with the EMF meter trying to see where the high readings are and stuff and see if there's any spikes for ghosties or anything like that. Two of the guys managed to locate what seemed to be a ball of energy with the EMF meters that was moving around the room, and they were able to follow it and track its movements. I have the little map drawing that they did for me to show me what the movements were in this room, and they followed this thing all over this big ballroom. And I thought it was fascinating, you know. And then when the thing disappeared, the investigator that got sick was able to go back in there without any problem. But again, they followed this thing all over the room, and they could actually, you know, figure out how big it was because the EMF reading. So they were running the meter like in circle, you know, to see that it was a circle and stuff. They didn't see anything. All they saw was the EMF on there, right? The EMF reading. But they did follow it all over the room. Now later on, because we've done a couple of conferences up there. We probably do one again. Love Murphy's. During a conference, we had some very interesting things happen. We were sitting at a table, got some great EVPs. We were sitting at this table, and I forget what we were talking about. It was something about the Mayans, and we actually heard, and you know how people will, for fun, I mean, every family does this at some point, where you go in with a knife, and you got glasses of water, you know, and you're ding, 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 on the glasses of water, right? So we were asking questions about work in the mines, because, of course, you know, this place was built during the gold rush. So there was an EVP that, in answer, said, did you work in the mines or did you work at the hotel? And you hear a ding. Now, whatever that meant, maybe get our attention, or were they saying, yeah, I'm working ding in the mines, and that's what I'm doing. I'm, you know, you'd use that little tool that they use to knock into the, you know, into the gold, into that rock, the granite. So yeah, we picked that up. And we also have gotten some really cool EVPs. There's a particular ghost named John that likes Karen Clark, who is our lead field psychic. And she would talk to him and have conversations. And one of these was such a unique conversation in that he sounded like her husband. She was really getting into what she was asking. And so she actually said, I love you, John. And you hear him say, I love you too. But it sounded like her husband. And at that point, I thought, well, maybe something's wrong with her husband. She needs to call home, which is what she did. Everything was fine. But we picked up this sound, and it sounded just like her husband. But we've gotten so many responses in there, and different voices, not just his voice, but different voices in that room as well. One incident that happened was we were there late one night, and I had gotten, what we got? Yes, we're going to talk Tommy Knockers, Jerry. Yes. If only I could read this stuff, it'd be great. One night when we were there, and I have this on video, when I get my website back up, it's where I'm going to direct you guys to it. We'll be able to look at my desktop as I'm doing the show, and you guys can see this stuff firsthand. We were in there. We had about six people around the round table, along with our shaman was there. And I had decided to put motion detectors out around the, or completely around the table, out about 10 feet, you know, 5, 10 feet away from the table, because I wanted to do an experiment to see if the ghosts could be tracked, right? Because the sensors would go off when they came, and the sensors would go off when they left. So I was tracking. I had a couple cameras set up. I had a video camera in my hand, and these particular video cameras that we use are older video cameras. They're still broadcast quality, but they're older digital cameras. Tape, okay, they still use tape. But what happens is when a ghost comes in contact, right, with electrical, and everybody's heard this, that they drain the batteries in cameras, right? They drain those batteries. And so this is what happens. There's battery drain when there's a ghost present, and the lens will get blurry when a ghost is there. And I've seen it time and time again over the years, and that's why I call these particular cameras that we use the ghost detectors, because they do that. Anyway, I'm sitting across from our team member, Jose, at the table. And as he's talking, and as Sharon is talking, because we're trying to bring things into us to do EVP session and talk to them, as they're both talking, Jose gets blurry. And I'm looking through the camera, and I thought, okay, maybe it's just something with the camera. So I focus off of him, and he's clear. Okay? Put the camera back on, and he's blurry. So at that point, you hear me say, Jose, you're blurry. And he says, I thought so because I don't feel good. Now, all of a sudden, the shaman's sitting there, and of course, all of our eyes are like, over on the shaman. And this is what's incredible, and I, you know, okay, again, I can't attest to it fully. All right? Again, it's an exact science. So we have to try and get as many facts to back up what we're getting as possible. You know, like for instance, with an EVP for using dowsing rods, and the psychic also sees something, and we're able to, you know, put that all together. We put it, then we'll put it out as evidence, right? In this case, the shaman tells Jose that it's General Grant. General Grant came in to Jose's body, talking to Jose and whatnot. And we all kind of took our breath back, right? We're all like, oh my God. And so Jose looks at the camera, and then he says, sir, you do not have permission to be inside of me like this. You do not have my permission to do this. Get out. And right when he says that, he clears up. Gone. Poof. Just like that. So that was one experience we had. Did we get an EVP? Yes, we had a voice, but who knows what General Grant really, really sounded like. You know, all we know is what was in the movies, right? So, yeah, we did get an EVP saying hello out of that one. But was it General Grant? I don't know. It could have been. But that was an experience we had in the Mark Lane Ballroom. Also, I want to add is that previous session that I was talking about where we heard that digging sound, someone was walking around because there's a small kitchen up there. You know, because, of course, they do banquets up there all the time. So there's a small kitchen up there. And we could actually hear someone walking around and moving stuff around as if they were moving something heavy around the floor in there while we were doing that session. So, I mean, there's activity. I mean, you can't deny about the activity, right? Now, there's another room, and I'm trying to remember the numbers. I don't want to confuse the numbers. Room 19, I believe, in there. They've got a big double bed in there. And there might be two double beds. Can't remember exactly. But they've got this bed in there, and this is supposedly a room where a miner who had either cholera or pneumonia passed away. And this is a room that actually has a water fountain, not a water fountain, but a sink in there. And people have reported that when they're sleeping at night that the sink turns on by itself, the water comes through. Well, you know, this is like a 2 or 3 in the morning. Well, unfortunately, we were able to debunk it because you know, we were staying on this particular occasion in the room next to that room. And during the night, because, of course, we're all night owls because we're running around the hotel and stuff. And during the night, we were able to hear the pipes start acting up. And sure enough, the water in our room came on because there was built up pressure in the pipes. So we were able to debunk that. However, what we couldn't debunk was the various temperature changes on the bed. Like somebody was laying there, we were able to run the thermometer over the bed from where the pillow was all the way down to where somebody's feet would be, and it was ice cold. Okay? All the other spots on that bed, warm as toast, except this one spot where we were able to run the EMF meters across, right? I mean, not EMF, but the temperature. The thermometer. The other thing we got were EVPs in there, somebody saying, I'm not feeling well. And it was a male. So, again, take it for what it's worth, you know, as far as it being haunted. But that is supposed to be one of the most haunted rooms in the hotel. Another room, and there's been reports of this, of people going to clean the rooms that work there. And they'll walk in on the poker game. Well, there'll be, you know, two or three men sitting on the bed and sitting on chairs. And they're playing poker in the room, and then they disappear right in front of them. Now, what we did was, and I like to take a lot of trigger items with me, my father built wooden toys. So, the ones that would be viable, like he would build like little stagecoach things and stuff like that, and jump ropes and things like that. So I would take them with me on these investigations to entice the ghosts of children, if there were any children ghosts. But I also carry poker chips. I carry cards, and I make sure that I got these cards and I got these chips at an antique store. So that way they're period items. And so we decided one day to go ahead on camera. We decided one day to go ahead and play poker in one of the rooms at the Murphy's Hotel where the men had been reported, you know, seen playing. And I was there, and another investigator was there, and so I was dealing for myself, dealing for the investigator, and dealing for the ghost, right? So we're sitting there, and nothing was really going on because the ghost was the ghost was losing. I was losing. The other investigator was winning. But then when the ghost actually went ahead, and we caught this on video, when the ghost actually went ahead of poker, the lights blinked on and off in the room several times, like he was excited. So we were able to do that, and that kind of collaborates what the employees were saying as far as running into these ghosts playing poker, right? So that was kind of cool. That was very cool. So again, we've had a lot of interesting experiences at that hotel. I'm going to be starting to work on our documentary. I've always wanted to work on my documentaries. And we're going to be starting to work on the documentary. I'm just over here. Hang on. Okay. Just moving stuff. If only I could read. And our documentary is going to be on the haunted hotels of the Gold Country. And so the Murphy's Hotel is the first place we're going to work on. And I got to make the arrangements to get my team up there and stuff. Because what they'll do is we have to pick a, you know, a certain night. As long as we buy rooms, maybe even if they're historic, you know, the historical section rooms or in the new part of the hotel, then they'll close off the historic part of the hotel just for us to go investigate. Pretty cool, pretty cool. But there are multiple ghosts there. You just won't see Eleanor. You're going to see other ghosts. The room we were staying in that I talked about where we heard the pipes and everything expand and all that, that room was the room there. And there's always, you know, when you go through these hotels, there's always somebody that's long-lost love. There's always that long-lost love story. And this was one of those rooms where she would stand in front of the mirror and she would cry. And people have reported seeing her at night standing in front of the mirror in this room, because the bed really is just about across from the mirror, you know, where the drawers are and everything. And the story goes, and this is what you find in a lot of old hotels, she had a lover, and he took off to the mines, you know, to the gold mines to seek his fortune, or to the nearby rivers to seek his fortune, and he never came back. And whether he's dead, you know, whether he died or what happened to him, no one knows. And she, you know, was forever looking in the mirror, looking out the window, hoping to see him come home, but he never has. So there's always a sad story like that. Some people have picked up crying noises in that room. They hear footsteps in that room. And they, like I said, they've seen her in the mirror in that room. Now, we're going to leave the Murphy's Hotel. We're going to Placerville. They have a wedding venue in Placerville. It used to be a restaurant, a real beautiful restaurant called the Sequoia. It used to be somebody's home. I forget who, you know, off the top of my head, I don't remember the name of who had it. But they used to let us go in there and investigate. And there are a lot of reports in there of ghostly activity of a little boy and people at the top of the stairs and things like that going on. Well, we get in there and we're doing set up our equipment and all that. And this EVPs that we've been getting have been incredible. Karen Clark, of course, reported that she could see a woman sitting by the stairwell on a chair watching us. And that's all this woman liked to do, was to watch the world go by. Okay? That's all she liked to do. And so she would be sitting there all the time doing that. Or she'd follow you into another room and sit there and watch you. Didn't feel intimidated by it. She was a really good energy. But she would sit there. So we went in when I was filming for the TV show. And the team there, Janelle on that team, one of the reports is that the women's restroom is haunted. And some people say that when you go in there and you're cleaning yourself up, especially women, primping, they would look over, they could see over their shoulder and there'd be a woman's face right there. Okay? All right, Mrs. B. It's the B family that owned the place at the time. So yeah, I knew it would come to me. Anyway, so that's one of the reports in that bathroom. So Janelle was in there and during an investigation. She had to use the restroom, so she went in there. And as she was doing her hair, doing whatever Janelle does, she happened to look up and she saw Mrs. B standing there over her shoulder. And she came out, she goes, you know, you're not going to believe this, but I saw her. She's in there. So, of course, we all go in there and don't see anything. At a later time, we came into the hotel during the day. We had Channel 10 with us. And we go into this bathroom. I've got a thermal imaging camera with me. And all the air conditioning was off that day. So Karen, and I do have video of this as well in pictures. So I can't wait to get my website back up. Karen was sitting low down because of all the bathroom stalls, which are made out of wood, by the way, the doors. And while she's there, we're doing an EVP session. And I'm taking photos of the stuff. I'm just shooting photos with the infrared camera, with the FLIR. I'm just shooting photos behind, you know, there. Well, as she's doing her session, because she's got dowsing rods, a red spot appears, like something's there. And the more she did her session, the bigger the red spot got. And I have this all documented on the FLIR. And then when she stopped doing the session, the red spot went away. But I got to watch in sequence of like 25 photos where this red spot started out small and increased in size as we progressed. What was interesting about this is that we did get an EVP. We did get an EVP in this room. It was a man's voice. And I'm trying to remember what it said. It was something along the line of my neck hurts. It was a really strange EVP. And we were trying to figure out what this meant. Somewhere along the lines, I think it was my neck hurts. And I went over to talk to the manager of the hotel, and only to find out that where that bathroom is used to be the front porch of the house. And at one time, there was a criminal that they hung on a tree in that area. So I think he came through, and that's what the whole thing about the neck was. And that was a Class A EVP. We also were talking via dowsing rods and Karen Clark, again, to another ghost of that hotel, of that place. And they claimed to be buried across the street in the cemetery. So I got the bright idea to take the dowsing rods and turn the camera on, and we went over there and had this ghost lead us to their grave in the cemetery. And it did. We got the name, went back over to talk with the manager, and found out that this had been an employee of the Bees back in the early 1900s. So we were able to confirm that information that we got, of what's going on in the cemetery there. The other one that's interesting is that, again, they have a big banquet room, and there's usually a stage in there, so there could be a band up there or whatever, maybe dancing up there. Anyway, so there was a group in there, and I don't know what they were there for, but some kind of club was there for the evening. And all of a sudden, the lights go out. And you hear people commenting out. They're all coming out going, oh my God, the lights turned off. We don't know why. Maybe it's the ghost, blah, 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 blah. Well, we ended up getting an EVP. I decided to do an EVP session. And we were doing our session, and I asked, who turned out the lights in the dining room? And a male voice comes on and says, Kevin. Clear as can be, Class A EVP, Kevin. So, yeah. So, I mean, there's so much going on there. So much in this place. You know, because you got the original family there. And then you've got a little boy that was killed by accident on the stairs. You got that kind of tragedy going on. And then whoever this Kevin guy is. Because if I understand, this used to be, I mean, like, it was a meeting hall anyway. So, the royal orders would, you know, the Masons and everybody would meet there. So, you know, there's a lot going on there. And Karen, you know, was channeling as well and picked up some stuff. I even brought something home from that place the first time I went there. I get home and something kept tapping me on the shoulder when I got home. And I knew it wasn't like my ghost here. I mean, this house is haunted. I knew it wasn't one of the ghosts here. But something was tapping me on the shoulder. Jerry brought up Tommyknockers. And that's an interesting thing. Tommyknockers are interesting because there's like different visions of what they actually are. The Cornish miners brought them over because there was a lot of Cornish mining. And what surprised me in doing research about the gold country was a lot of Hawaiian people came over. A lot of Hawaiian people were here working in the mine fields and everything, like over at Coloma and all those different places when they discovered gold. But the Cornish miners brought these Tommyknockers. And what they're supposed to be is, some say they're the soul, you know, what's left of deceased miners. Others say that they're like fairy folk, you know, they're legends. And they're only about maybe 2-3 feet tall, but they wear overalls, and then they'll wear the mining hat on their head, you know. So this family that we went out to investigate kept saying that they would see this little man running around the house. And they were afraid of it because they didn't know what he was there for, what he was doing. Well, a lot of these Tommyknockers are mischievous, you know, because they would tease the miners back in the old days. Plus, part of why they were there is, the legend has it that way, if a Tommyknocker came to a miner to speak with him, or he was seen, usually it meant that there was going to be a mine collapse. That was the warning for a mine collapse. And so that's how the legend goes. And there's other legends about them, because, of course, other countries have them as well. But the ones out of the gold country, excuse me, oh my gosh, I got to get the higher chair. The ones out of the gold country are primarily, you know, they were primarily there as warnings. But they're mischievous. They used to like to steal food. What a ghost or whatever that thing is going to do with food, who knows. But they would like to steal food. So that's one of the things I suggested to the client, was that to leave a little food out for him. And they did. And they never had a problem afterwards. He was still there, and I guess they're kind of living in happy harmony with this Tommyknocker. But that was my first thing. I asked what he looked like. They described him. He had a beard. He had red hair and a beard. And he wore, you know, the like I said, the mining hat. And he had on a pair of overalls with a plaid shirt. The Tommyknockers. But there's a lot of them up there. A lot of them in the mines. When I was still filming for California Haunts, we did another investigation at what they call the Willow Steakhouse. Underneath the Willow Steakhouse, it's built over a mine shaft, what used to be a mine shaft. And one of the things that the psychic who was there that night saw were the Tommyknockers. She could clearly see them, you know, at the hotel. So that was kind of cool, you know. It's kind of weird, you know, when you go eat at a hotel like that, you're having dinner, and you realize that you're sitting over the mine shaft. And, you know, this was one of those mine shafts that had its share of collapses. So, you know, there were bodies under there, and you're just sitting there over all these bodies. So it's kind of a surreal feeling. It's nothing, it's something, you know, as many times as I've been ghost hunting, I don't get used to. You know, because you think it's like it's like a graveyard that you're sitting over. But, I mean, that's the gold country. You know, there's a lot of places like that. Just like a lot of the places in gold country have tunnels underneath. Old Sacramento has tunnels underneath their main buildings. And I'm not talking about the buildings that you see above ground, because there's a part of Old Sacramento of the underground that you can actually go on tours to visit. And that's where the original Sacramento buildings were. But below them, yeah, there's stuff. And the reason why, a lot of this stuff was built during Prohibition. A lot of this stuff was built, especially the one here in Placerville has them too, was because the gentleman didn't want to be seen going to visit the girls over at the houses of ill repute. So they built these tunnels so that these guys could go back and forth and nobody would see them. And a lot of these towns have these tunnels where you can go from building to building without being seen. And that's why they're like that. Prohibition just added to that, because they were trying to move alcohol. And the only way to move the alcohol without getting arrested would be to use these tunnels. Jumping out of the gold country for a second, the Moss Beach Distillery is a perfect example of that. You guys, I'm sure, have seen the stories about that being haunted by the Blue Lady. But one of the interesting things is it sits on a cliff. And there's a trail down to the beach. Okay? If you know where to look, now, Pamela, and you walk around on this beach and you know where to look, you will find a cave. And that cave has a direct, somewhere in the cave, has a direct elevator, I want to say elevator, or a direct way for people in the restaurant to haul up boxes. Whether it's boxes of booze or whatever it was. And from what I understand in the history, they used it during Prohibition to bring the liquor into that Moss Beach Distillery. That's how they did it. So you got a lot of that going on. So even when you think about these old towns, even though it may not be the 1800s, the late 1800s or whatever, I'm sure that during Prohibition days, they used those existing tunnels to move liquor, you know, to move liquor around. I'm pretty sure they did. The California Gold Country, almost every building you go to is going to be haunted. Placerville is an interesting place. Their Main Street, You've got a hotel on that main street that's haunted. You've got a bookstore that used to be a tea house that's haunted. Almost every building, there's an antique store that's haunted. There's an ice cream. Well, I don't think it's an ice cream shop anymore. It's turned into something else. Oh yeah, it's a restaurant. It's a restaurant now that's haunted. That's active. And then across the way, you've got places that are haunted. A lot of these old towns, you know, you can go door to door, and they're haunted. Murphy's is the same thing. There's like, not only is the Murphy's Hotel haunted, but there's three or four other buildings in that city that are haunted. And that's, you know, that's just these old towns, right? Another one that we like to visit is Grass Valley, the Holbrook Hotel. I understand they've remodeled it, so I don't know how happy they are to have a paranormal reputation or paranormal people there. They call us paranormal, some people. But there's a lot of activity at that Holbrook Hotel. We've done a conference there. I think we've done a conference, two conferences there. And there's a report of these two children that run around, and there's this ballroom where people will be, well, not ballroom, but like a big dining room, where people will be sitting, having dinner, and they can feel children underneath the table, bumping their legs and crawling underneath their legs, and they can hear them giggle, and it's these two ghost children. It's rather interesting, because from what we got from it, with Karen Clark and other psychics that have been out there, from what we got it, is the children, the mother of the two children are still trying to find them, so she haunts the kitchen area. You see her in the hallway between the kitchen and the dining room. And she's looking for them. And the best we could ascertain, and like I said, in exact science, all we can do is guess, is that the kids, because they, or the mother, because she died sooner, or the kids died sooner, or something happened with that, they're on two different planes of existence, so they never run into each other. They don't know that the other's there. And I remember going in to do an EVP session in that room with the kids there, you know, thinking we were going to contact the kids. I had some peppermint sticks and some jump ropes, and I put them down on the floor. And Karen came in, sat down, and I started the session. And just when I sat down and got settled, you can hear real fast footsteps, like somebody's running into the room, and you can hear giggles. You can hear the children giggle. So we picked that up in that place. I also ran into an apparition in the women's bathroom downstairs. They have a speakeasy downstairs where they do wedding receptions and things like that. I've gone to the restroom in there, and there's a report of a woman in white that hangs out in the restroom. I saw her a couple of times when I was down there. There's also the report of a man that haunts, a real heavy type guy, that heavy energy too, that haunts that speakeasy part. And my S is a really bad name. And and we did something along the line of, I was doing a live on Block Talk Radio at the time. We didn't have video at that point, but, you know, to go live. And I turned everything off, and I said, okay, you know, that's it. But I kept it rolling. I put it back on because I had a feeling. So I decided to clown around. There's photo evidence of this. I decided to clown around. I got on a pole that was in the, in that particular area of the building, and I started to kind of swing around on it. And I'm not a small person, I never have been. And I remember saying, look at me, I can work in the fields, I have good teeth, you know, I can haul stuff, I can haul hay bales or whatever you need me to haul. Well, as I'm doing this, and not knowing it, something had grabbed me by the wrist, this wrist right here. Somebody grabbed me by this wrist. And when I got done doing that, you could see the bruises where whatever this was or whoever this was had grabbed me and squeezed my wrist. But you can clearly see the fingerprints. You know, where they had grabbed me, because they were bruises. Then I turned around, took, like, you know, because we always take photos in threes so we can, you know, okay, now you see it, now you don't, blah, blah, kind of thing. And I got this dark shadow moving across the room in the photos. I caught a dark shadow. But to add to that, Nancy Matz, always vigilant, always doing her remote reads, told me that this was going to happen, that there was going to be a dark cloud or a dark entity in this room. And it happened, the dark shadow. I got it all on camera. So that was interesting. Upstairs, you know, you've got the bridal suite, that's haunted. You've also got another room further down the hallway that's active, and that has a story in itself, and that we went in there to do an EVP session, and I had the recorder going, and we were also using batteries for something, and I can't remember what the batteries were for. And so I changed the batteries out. But the issue was with this is that they hadn't cleaned, you know, the room was clean for guests, and I didn't know, well, should I keep the battery? Should I throw the batteries away, you know, and do any of the trash can in here so that when the guests come in, they're going to see that somebody used it, or what should I do? So I put the batteries in my pocket, and then we did our session, left the room, and as we're walking down the hallway, because we had Ovilus at this point, the original Ovilus, and as we're walking down the hallway, the Ovilus is on, and we hear stop. So I turn around, I'm looking at the rest of the investigators, and I'm like, okay. And the next voice that came out of the thing said, throw away batteries. So whoever this was, you know, was telling me to toss the batteries. But they didn't tell me to toss them until I was out of the room. So, different strokes, right, for different folks, as far as that goes. So that was an experience that we had at the Holbrook Hotel. We never saw anything dark there. We never saw anything. And I'm not going to say where this was broadcast on national TV, where this particular psychic had seen creatures crawling on the walls and stuff in this hotel. We never saw that. We went in 3 or 4 times to this place with different psychics on staff. Never saw things like that. So I don't know if that was a trump up for TV or what. You know, I'm not going to challenge the psychic, because maybe they came out for her, right? They came out because sometimes ghosts will come out for different people. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be like every person that walks through the door. So that could have been the case. But we didn't see anything like that. You know, we've never run into anything negative there, except maybe downstairs, like I said, in that little speakeasy area with whoever that guy is. But he's noted to be, you know, to not have a sense of humor, let's put it that way. And I don't know, because he might be the one, because there's a report that in the main saloon area that a cowboy had been killed by an unknown patron. This guy had killed him. So maybe that's who's down there in that basement area. I don't know. But yeah, so, you know. So we've never run into anything really dark there. It's just interesting because you've got a good handful of ghosts there. But I'd be curious to see what it's like now that they remodeled, because they have remodeled. They really have. I was just thinking about along that line of the Ryan Hotel and in my experience there. The Ryan Hotel is along the Sacramento River. It dates back to Prohibition days. And there was a mafia presence at the Ryan Hotel. And we decided to go in there. We did a conference there. I don't think we did a conference. I'm trying to remember if we did a conference. We might have. I don't remember. And I know Monica was there with me. But we did go live, and I remember doing the live walkthrough with Trish. One of our psychics on our team, and she was going through talking about this man who seemed to run the place, literally, you know, for the girls, right? Run the girls. But there was a mob presence, because we're talking Prohibition, but a lot of movie stars had stayed there. I mean, there's photos of Janet Leigh and Clark Gable on the walls and people like that. It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. And at one point, we were in contact with via dowsing rods with someone that said they were Janet Leigh. Okay, I just did it. Oh, cool. Yeah, I just did it. No EVPs on that session. But what was interesting about this is, I'm not going to go into details about, there was a certain smell that Trish was talking about. And we could all smell it. Okay. What happened later on is what's important. We had a reporter from the Lodi News Sentinel with us. And so she went upstairs with the rest of the team to investigate. And I was down with my mother, down below. I don't even think my mother was there that time. No, my mother wasn't there that time. So I was downstairs on my own. And I still had cameras to set up, because they also had a speakeasy. So I gathered my you know, camera, went down the stairs to the speakeasy. Now, there's the report of a ghost that stands behind the bar area. And he's not very nice, from what people say. He doesn't like people there. So I go down there. I'm all alone. It's dark. And there's just one light coming from the top. And I set my camera up, and I'm talking to the ghost. And I'm like, excuse me, I'm not here to cause you any problems. I'm just here to set the camera up. That's all I want to do. You know, please don't be upset or anything. All of a sudden, I got this overwhelming fear. And I remember looking around, and I thought, someone's here. Someone doesn't want me here. So I started to walk backwards towards the stairs. I got to the stair. I never walked backwards upstairs in my life, and I did this time. I get to the stairwell, and I remember looking, and I said, please don't hurt me. And that's how much fear I had. I turned around, and I said, please don't hurt me. And I kind of went up the stairs backwards, got up there, shut the and was sitting there just at my computer station with this horrible fear gripping me. So I went out front to try and shake it off. And I thought, well, I'm going to go upstairs and I'm going to, you know, get the shaman to come down with us and see what's going on down there. I go up the stairs and it was like a scene from Poltergeist. The hallway to the room where they were doing their investigation was almost pitch black. The closer I got to it, the darker it got. And I thought, nope, not going there. So I went back, sat down. And then it was time, because I have a bad back, so then it was time to take some pain medication. So I grabbed my medication, went to the women's restroom, and I'm leaning over the fountain, you know, to get some water. And in my mind's eye, I saw a man, a big hand from a man, reach behind my head and slam my face against the wall. All in my mind's eye. So right away, I'm like, nope, I'm out of here. So I go back outside. My investigators find me outside, and I tell them what happened. I said, I don't know what that was or why, but, you know, it is what it is. And so we finished off what we were doing with the new Sentinel. Everybody had a report of, you know, kind of experiencing stuff, et cetera, et cetera. And then went home. I get home, and I'm talking to one of my friends who wasn't on scene, but can do remote reads. And she mentioned that, normally I wear black. I've got this logo. Or I'll wear a red shirt with black, you know. That day I wore what is well known as our tidy whitey, so I had a white California Haunt shirt on. So my friend looks at me and says, well, you had problems last night, didn't you? And I never told her that I had problems. And I said, well, yeah, I did have some difficulties last night at that hotel. And she says, well, you reminded him of his wife on wedding day. They got into a huge fight. And he ended up unaliving her in the bathroom. And I said, well, how did he unalive her? He reached out, he shoved her head against the wall. Wow. Right? And she had never done any research on that hotel at all. In fact, I didn't even tell her I was going to that hotel. She had no idea I was even out there. She didn't watch our feed, nothing. She wasn't interested in that stuff. But that, yeah, that really shook me. You know, because I saw it. I saw it in my mind's eye. I saw him reach behind me and shove my head against the wall. Not cool. Not cool. But I want to get back into that. That's a cool hotel. We haven't done a lot of investigating over there, and I would love to get back in that Ryan Hotel and do more in-depth investigations. You know, because it is a cool place, and it's kind of like the Moss Beach Distillery because, you know, it was open during Prohibition times, the mob was there, and all that kind of stuff was going on. So it's kind of interesting. Another hotel, just off the top, because we have maybe about 5 minutes left. About 5 minutes to go. When you think about different hotels, you know, like we've done Placerville, we've done, you know, stuff up in Murphy's, you know, everything. The Hotel Jeffrey. The Hotel Jeffrey is interesting because it's got an interesting story behind it. There was a particular miner who I believe struck it pretty good, but he was so... So what's the word when somebody's just doing their own thing, right? He did his own thing. And so he used to take his dynamite and put the dynamite underneath his bed. And he would sleep with this dynamite under his bed. Did he die because of an explosion? No. He just would sleep with this dynamite underneath his bed in this one room. And so we go in there and we're doing a prelim before we do the official investigation out there. And we're staying in this room. And they had those, I don't know if they still make those anymore, those pull-down shades. You know, the ones that are rolled up like on a roller, and you pull them down. And then you get them to a certain level, and you can make them stick in place. So they had they had those shades. And during the night, and my friend that went with me saw the whole thing. It woke her up. She's a very light sleeper. And the shade not only got pulled down during the night, it was pulled completely off the roller itself. It just totally came down. I didn't hear it. I was dead to the world. My friend saw it. I said, well, why didn't she wake me up? She said, well, it happened so fast. It just got pulled down. We still don't know why that thing got pulled down. Now, was it hot, you know, like hot temperature that maybe the glue let go or something that came down? But according to her, it looked and sounded like somebody had literally grabbed that thing and pulled it down. So, you tell me. Anyway, it's more involved than this. When we did the official investigation down there, it was rather unique because this particular place is divided by like an alley, but it's within the hotel. So you got the main, you got the main dining room, and then you got the saloon, which is what else? There's always saloons, right? There's a saloon that I'm in. And so there's an alley in between. So we go into the alley to conduct the EVP session, along with the EMF rings. And I just wish my website wasn't, this bugs me. And as we were asking questions, the EMF meter was reacting. It was literally reacting. And we even filmed some of it. And, you know, you can even hear us on the recording saying it. It was reacting like when I look down here and I'm seeing my little light flashes, I'm talking, right? The EMF meter was doing the same thing. It was really cool. And this lasted for like 45 minutes on this investigation. So, couldn't explain it, but it was doing it, right? It wasn't something electrical. We came in later that night to test it. It was completely flatlined. So, something paid us a visit, I guess, while we were down there. You know, in that room. The rest of the investigation was uneventful. I stayed in the room with one of my psychics, and the only thing she said was that somebody had aligned themselves in this room we were in. They had decided to hang from the lamp fixture in this room we were in. The other thing that we were able to do, and I'm not a big orb fan, people know this, but I was able to get the psychic Sabrina to command orbs to move in certain directions. And I caught it all on film, you know, that she was doing this. Another significant thing, you know, I was able to pick up a shadow in the shower area of this room where this ghost is said to frequent. I think his name's Charlie. But there's a hotel across the way called the Hotel Blue, and ironically, it's the Hotel Charlotte. It's across the way. Well, Charlotte was in love with the miner who slept on top of his dynamite. And the report is that you will see them crossing back and forth, because sometimes he would spend the night over at her hotel with her, and sometimes she would come over to the Hotel Jeffrey and spend the night. So there's a lot of reports, like around 10 o'clock at night, where they see either one of them crossing the road to go to their respective hotels. Interesting stuff, you know, lots to look at in the Gold Country. And the Hotel Jeffrey, if you're in for a nice vacation, the view is just outside of Yosemite. So, you know, you can ghost hunt and go see the park. So there's benefits, a lot of benefits. Okay, guys, that's it for tonight. I hope you liked the show tonight. And tomorrow we'll be back on track. There will not be a show tomorrow night. There will be a show at 2:30 p.m. Pacific with Karen Conti. And we're going to be talking about defending John Wayne Gacy. Now, a few years ago, I had another attorney of John Wayne Gacy. He was a family friend who was an attorney. And when John Wayne Gacy was being investigated and he finally got arrested, originally, this man who is now deceased, defended him. So I had him on the show talking to him about Mr. Gacy. Now Karen Conti was, I think, talking to Gacy when he was on death row. So I don't know if she actually defended him physically at his main court trial, or if it was, you know, this thing that, like, for the death row inmates. We're going to find that out tomorrow, and that'll be at 2:30 p.m. Pacific. I'm also going to be on Dr. Linda Salvin's show at 1 p.m. Pacific, and as soon as I get that link, I will get it out to you guys, and we're going to be going out live. Our guest tomorrow is medium Nancy Matz, of all people, so she's going to be on that show. So I'm looking forward to that. Again, my goal for the monthly expenses, we're still $80 short. So if you could find it in your heart to help us out, that would be great to keep the show on the air. You know, we're just trying to keep everything going. And that's paypal.me/CaliforniaHaunts. Or at Venmo, we're just California Haunts. So that would be great if you could help me out. You're not required, but that would be great. If you like the show, share it with 5 people. If you hated the show, share it with 5 of your enemies. We are equal opportunity here at California Haunts Radio. We are just trying to get the word out about our little old show, and it seems to be working. I want to thank everybody who listens to us out there on Apple and iHeartRadio and the RSS feed. It's fantastic. I see the numbers building up. I'm really excited about that. I'm really stoked. And for everybody else that listens to us on Facebook and watches us on YouTube and all that good stuff, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I want to thank Pamela. I want to thank Marisa. I want to thank Jerry for coming in today. I really appreciate seeing you guys making comments and stuff. Okay. Well, that being said, I'm out of here, and I will see you guys tomorrow at 6:30. I almost said it, didn't I? 1 p.m. with Dr. Linda, or 2:30 p.m. with Karen Conti. Have a great night, you guys. And it didn't go, did it? See, the whole day has been like this.